Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to America's Invisible Heroes, a show dedicated to our veterans and their families. And yes, I'm your host, Consuela Mackey, Executive Director of a grassroots nonprofit organization called Operation Confidence. I'd like to first tell everyone out there in radio land, happy Passover, and to all of our Jewish friends, and also happy Palm Sunday. For those who may be new to the show, Operation Confidence, American Invisible Hero, strives to provide a platform for veterans to be able to share their experiences, heartfelt stories, resources, challenges, and accomplishments. Now, I'd like to introduce you to my wonderful co-host, Air Force veteran and Operation Confidence board member Matt Davison, U.S. Army Reserve and board member Charles Whitehead, Brooke Gadaski, board member and one of our announcers, and Taylor Marcella, an Operation Confidence advisory board member and also an announcer. Welcome to you all.
Good afternoon, Connie, Charles, Brooke, and Taylor.
Good afternoon, Connie, Matt, Brooke, and Taylor.
Good afternoon, Connie, Matt, Charles, and Taylor.
Good afternoon, Connie, Matt, Charles, Brooke, and welcome LA Talk Radio viewers and listeners.
Well, March 1st was the start of the International Women's Month, and March 8th was International Women's Day. So to kick off this especially important time in American history, we would like to acknowledge another outstanding American female member of the service. Brooke, would you please do us the honors?
Absolutely, Connie. For the entire month of March, we acknowledge a female soldier who changed the course of U.S. military history. We'd like to tell our listeners about Hazel Ying Lee, a member of the Women Air Force Service Pilots in World War II, who was the first Chinese-American woman pilot to fly for the U.S. military. Born in Oregon in 1912, Lee took an interest in flying and worked as a department store to make money for flying lessons. She also enrolled in the flying program sponsored by the Portland Chinese Benevolent Society, and by the age of 19 was a skilled pilot. In 1943, Lee applied for and was accepted into the Women's Flying Training Detachment, WFTD, in Texas, where she learned to fly a variety of military planes. Around this time, the Women's Air Ferrying Service, WAFS, merged with the WFTD and was renamed the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, WASP. Lee was stationed at the Air Transport Command's 3rd Ferrying Squadron at Romulus Army Air Base in Michigan, where she flew ferrying and administrative flights. In 1944, Lee became one of a select group of women qualified to fly high-powered single-engine fighter aircraft. Due to a control tower miscommunication, Lee was involved in a runway collision and died from injuries she sustained in November 1944. Go online to see a 1944 photograph of Lee in her WASP uniform and an envelope Lee mailed to her sister in April 1944. Both appeared in an exhibition, Pacific Exchange, China and U.S. Mail, courtesy of Francis M. Tong, Museum of Chinese and America Collection. The photo in which Lee stands in front of a plane's wing was released by the U.S. Air Force and is dated 1932. Although the women Air Force service pilots flew under military command, the WASPs were classified as civilians who received no military benefits. Funeral expenses were not covered for any of the 38 who died in service, including Hazel Ying Lee. In 1977, President Jimmy Carter granted WASP's veteran status. President Barack Obama awarded the WASPs the Congressional Gold Medal in 2010.
Oh gosh, that was great information, Brooke. Thank you so much. Take it away, Matt.
Yeah, at this time I would like to share an article from the VA on the Center for Women Veterans. And there are roughly 2 million living women veterans, many of the VA central office employers who are women veterans. In celebration of Women's History Month, this virtual exhibit shows VA central office employees who are women veterans. By spotlighting the many faces of this diverse and important segment of the veteran community, I Am Not Invisible aims to increase awareness and dialogue about women veterans, as well as open viewers' eyes to the myriad levels of expertise of veterans serving veterans as central office employees. I Am Not Invisible began as a remarkable exhibition featuring 20 portraits of Oregon women veterans. To download copies of any of these photos, please contact the Center for Women Veterans at 00w@va.gov. Once again, that's 00w@va.gov.
Thank you, Matt. That was great information as well. Now, Taylor, please introduce our guest speaker.
You got it, Connie. Today, America's Invisible Heroes has a different format, a discussion panel hosted by Kevin Lewandowski, Air Force veteran and Operation Confidence board member. Before Kevin begins this segment, allow me to share a little information about him. Kevin served as an aircraft and structural firefighter paramedic. He now works for Volunteers of America as a job developer case manager for the Incarcerated Veterans Transition Program. Take it away, Kevin.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Connie. I'd first like to introduce my program manager who's supposed to have been calling in. Did she call me in? Connie?
Not yet. You know,
okay. Well, then we'll skip her for now. She's a, she couldn't get her Zoom working, I guess. She said she was going to call in, but we'll move on. Next, I would like to introduce Mr. Paul Cordova, Program Manager for the San Fernando Valley Volunteers of America, HVRP, which is Helping Veterans Receive Paychecks program. This program is very similar to the program that I run, that I'm involved in. The difference is that his program is specific to San Fernando Valley, and he can enter anyone into his program, where my program, we have to have someone that is incarcerated, previously incarcerated, within the past year, or if they're coming out within 6 months of incarceration. So we're more specific to a category of people that are very hard to house and very hard to find jobs for. So we battle with them. So I will now pass this along to Paul and let him talk a little bit about himself, about his program, and take it away, Paul.
Hello, guys. My name is Paul Cordova. I just recently became the program coordinator for HBRP San Fernando Valley in LA. Our program has been running for at least 5 months already. I actually have two veterans. One is, he's still serving in the National Guard. His name is Tigran. He's my job developer. And then my lead, who is Amelia Partley, she is, she did 17 years in the Air Force. So I'm really happy that I have these two, similar to Kevin, really great people. A little bit about myself. I started working for Volunteers of America in 2015 as a data specialist. From there, I moved on to job developer case manager, just like Kevin. And then recently, like I said, I was promoted to program coordinator for the San Fernando Valley HBRP. And pretty much what we do, similar to what the IVT, is support veterans who are looking for employment, break those barriers, depending on where they're at. For example, if they need help from interview clothing to uniforms to tools, we provide that. Just recently, one of our guys who got hired as a construction worker, I paid for a water pressure that cost nearly $200. So it's really gratifying to support and assist. I myself, I'm not a veteran, I'm a civilian, but I have been working with veterans for 5 years already, going to six, right? So I'm really happy.
Okay, thank you, Paul. And the next guest was going to be Joshua Youngblood. He is one of my veterans on my caseload. He is a Navy veteran who served 2003 to 2006, and I'm planning on having him on another time. I have him working now at the West LA Veterans Administration Building. He works for a company called Avatara, and he had to leave work yesterday and go to the ER, and he came down with a sinus infection. So he's suffering, so we'll have him on another time. And my next guest is Joseph Cole, who served in the U.S. Army from 1985 to 87 as a unit supply specialist, received an Army Achievement Medal Rifle M16 Expert Qualification Badge. If you'd like to talk a little bit, Joseph, about yourself, about your past, and about what I've done for you.
Sure, Kevin. First of all, I just want to thank you for all that you have done for me as my employment specialist at VOA. You've definitely been crucial in helping me get started here in LA. I'm a transplant from Alaska. That's where I did my tour of duty. At Fort Richardson in Anchorage. It was quite a shock because I was recruited in Miami and then my first tour of duty was in Alaska. So yeah, Operation Brimfrost too. That's where we stay out in 2 weeks in sleeping bags in the cold. I forgot to mention that. You have been crucial in me acclimating to everything here in LA. It's such a huge city compared to Anchorage. And thank you for helping me get a job with Avatara also. It's a great company, good pay. I love working at the VA compound facility there.
That's wonderful. And you're a good worker too. I must add that right there into it.
Thanks.
And if you could, if you talk about a little bit about what the process was like. What the process was like for me to get you employed at Avatara, how hard it was or how easy it was.
Yeah, actually, thanks for your guidance. The process was pretty smooth. I was able to be interviewed by Avatara right there in your offices downtown at BOA. I believe I was called the next day and told that, you know, I have got the job. And I started, I think within a couple of days. I've been working there about, I think, 6 months now.
Wonderful. And you're a very good worker. And also, if you could talk a little bit about the transition out of the military into civilian life. What was that like?
The transition was a little tough. I decided to stay in Anchorage for a while, and that's where I met the mother of my child and my son. And the Army was pretty good about helping with the transition, allowing me to have the things I needed to transition out. It wasn't too tough of a time.
That's good, because a lot of people do have a hard time transitioning out. And another thing I want to talk about is housing. One thing that Operation Confidence is doing is they are planning on, they have a piece of land that was donated. It was 5 acres, 4 or 5 acres. And the plan is to build a veterans complex there, starting from transitional housing in through the job training and all the way through into permanent housing. So it's going to be a step-by-step operation in helping the veterans and mainly the disabled veterans. And I know I can attest for myself as being a disabled veteran that when I came out, I didn't get the benefits that other people got because I was put out general under honorable instead of honorable because of my disability. They wanted to get rid of me and get me out of there so they didn't have to pay my medical expenses or have to worry about me anymore. And that's most of the people that I do work with, I have 50 on my caseload right now. Most of them fall into that category. And it's hard to get, they get no benefits for housing. You know, they don't qualify for the VASH voucher, which is the Section 8 voucher, because to get that, you have to have VA medical. And when you get out, even though general under honorable, still honorable conditions, you don't get the benefits. You're going to get humanitarian benefits, which is just for housing for homeless. And if you're in a dire emergency, you can go use the emergency room, but then they hurry up and ship you back out to a regular hospital. So they're the people, they're the disabled people. The ones that I deal with are the ones the unseen disability, that you look at them and you don't really see it. PTSD, you know, a lot of the veterans have PTSD and they put them out. General under honorable, get no benefits. Alcohol, drug abuse, myself, put you out, no help for your problem. To help you with your alcoholism, they're just going to put you to the streets, you know, and there you are. I went up 28 years on the streets because I got no help from the VA. So they're the disabled people that Operation Confidence, you know, that's a group of the people that we want to help, because they're the ones, they are the invisible heroes that are not getting any help from the VA because of a disability that they have. You know, they just were put to the streets. And you know, a lot of people don't want to hear this. A lot of people in the military that are higher up don't like, you know, the hearing about this, but it's the truth. You know, people need to know what's going on, you know, and how hard it is for people that have served the country, you know, 3, 5, 15 years, some of them, and then they're put out, you know, nothing. So those are the ones that we're trying to help, and it's very, very much needed. And Joseph, I mean, you could talk about that, your housing a little bit in that category.
Sure. I see, because I only did 2 of the 3 years of my service, because I did not acclimate to the whole cold weather thing in Alaska, I asked to be, you know, let out early. And I think after 1980, you had to do, I think, 80% of your tour of duty to get those, you know, at least the minimum benefits. Before 1980 it was like 90 days. And so unfortunately I fell under that, the later clause where if you don't do 80%, you get nothing. I even asked if I get my GI Bill money back, because I put in $1,200 over a course of 12 months for the GI Bill. And I was told by the VA rep there in Anchorage that you never got that money, so it never was yours, and therefore we won't give it back to you. That's our money. And I was just shocked. Wow. Yeah. And so I had no medical benefits, no transitional housing, nothing. I actually lived and worked in a paint shop as a car auto body paint prep guy. Luckily, the owner had a little room that, you know, I could stay in. And it actually took a long time for me to get on my feet, because I had no help. I had no family up there, nothing. And honestly, because I got out early, I was just too ashamed to go back to my family in Miami and ask for their help. So it was a long time, actually, until I got back on my feet because of that.
And you're just now getting back on your feet.
Yes, well, unfortunately, I was incarcerated for quite a lengthy period. And I got a interstate compact down here, I've been embraced by the Southern California, Los Angeles community. They allowed me to go on Medi-Cal, so at least I had medical benefits, and I was able to attend to my medical needs. And then you came along, and you helped me get several jobs. You helped me with housing, you know, with a gas card, with the Ralph's food card. And I was just amazed at how helpful you and your organization were to help me as an incarcerated former veteran. I'm so thankful for that. I wouldn't be here now, probably, if, you know, it wasn't for your help and your support, you know, for this good job. I have my own place now. I have a great girl. You know, it allows me to have a little money left over to do a few things, you know, to enjoy a few things in life instead of, you know, just working 9 to 5 all the time and trying to find out where I'm going to get, you know, my next medical need help from. Or so, yeah,
it's my pleasure helping you and all the veterans on my caseload. That's, you know, I don't do it for the money, because they don't pay very much. Nonprofit, you know, I think VOA is the least paying of them all. But mm-hmm. But I do it because, you know, I've been there. I'm also, you know, incarcerated veteran, and I struggle to get where I am. And I know that other people can do it. And I just want to be there to be a guiding light for them when they hear my story or see what I'm doing and think, wow, you know, if he did it, I can do it too. You know, because that's my payment there. You know, that is my payment right there.
You so, know, I commend you. I want everyone to know that you are on our board because of the wonderful work that you're doing in the community for our veterans. You heard my plea. I'm not a vet, just like Paul, but my background is in the glamour world, hairstyling and fashion design for many, many years. And ironically, in one of those times working in the salon, I tripped over some boxes and broke my foot and found myself disabled for a short period of time, feeling sorry for myself, saying, woe is me, when there's people with making tremendous contributions in society with a disability. So I wanted to do something to give back. And lo and behold, skipping past the journey, I ran into an encampment downtown on Skid Row. Of veterans. And how did I get downtown on Skid Row? Ironically, right next to downtown is the Garment District. So there I was. And when I seen this encampment, it just broke my heart. How could this rich country allow our veterans to live out of their wheelchairs on the streets of Los Angeles? And it's been just my mission. Kevin will tell you, he's been with me, and Matt's been with me from the very beginning, that we've been on this campaign. We're going to provide stable housing with all the resources, including job training, job opportunities for veterans, especially those with disabilities, those in wheelchairs. The one lucky thing is that I have seen the capabilities of an individual. Just because he's in a wheelchair doesn't mean that he can't do just about everything that anyone else can do. Maybe a little bit different, but it can be done. So I commend you, Joseph, and of course my buddy Kevin for bringing you on the show. His story is very touching, and
I commend you for all you've been doing to get this where it is today. I mean, you had from nothing, and now this
still doing for nothing.
And now you see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, and the Holy Spirit is still working with us.
Yeah, it is. It's nobody but God that's leading this, because I mean, many doors have been slammed, and people say, well, how dare you? You're not a veteran, you're a woman, and you're blah, 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 all the rest of the things that go with being negative. But he just says, keep on going. One door slams and 19 others open. So here we are today. Right. Who would ever think we'd be on TV?
And the funny thing, I used to be a hairdresser too, Connie.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, in Philadelphia.
Oh, my. See, yes. you know the industry as well. Well, I really thank you for that. It's too bad. Why don't you tell us about your program director?
I'm just trying to call it. I didn't have a phone number to give her. I don't know what phone number to give her.
She has a very touching story that you know about.
Yeah, I'll read a little bit what I was going to say about her introduction. Okay, the program manager, Rihanna Torres, she's a single mother of two, and she was going to share her heartfelt story of domestic violence that she had went through and how she climbed the ladder to success. She came from domestic violence, and she had to raise her children on her own. She had to get a job for I guess the very first time, and she's young. I mean, she's like 28, 29, I think. She's very young.
She's 30. Rhiannon is a really good friend of mine. Exactly what Kevin is saying. Rhiannon comes from a similar program, like HBRP, but for females, right? She actually started from, like Kevin said, she started doing paperwork, like files. And I am not kidding, the passion that Rhi has for the veterans and how she really, I've seen the way Rhiannon and Kevin work together. And it is really, I love it. I love that, the combination, because the intention, what Rhi went through, she really puts her heart and soul to supporting the veteran community, especially the incarcerated. I've seen the way this woman works, and she is phenomenal. That's all I can say.
That is so wonderful. Happy to have Volunteers of America on board, because it's going to take us and Volunteers of America and a lot of other nonprofit organizations to help us with our dream, but it's going to happen, that's for sure.
It's happening now.
Yeah, it is.
It's a step away. Step by step. And when the Holy Spirit's ready, it's going to explode.
Yeah, you got that right. You know, and I mean, what's amazing is when we say the Holy Spirit, we didn't have anything but a dream, and the reality is coming. If it wasn't for COVID, we would have been further on, but we're still moving right along. There's an amazing individual who's donated us land, and then there's a world-renowned architect who's offered to design the houses, and we need, of course, and we have Volunteers of America support and helping us put the infrastructure together. So we're moving. It's going to happen. Just hang in there, ladies and gents. We'll be back telling you about, we're having this grand opening with how would you say, taking the shovel with the hard hats and throwing the first bit of dirt.
That's right.
That's for sure.
And Miss Bella's going to be there too.
Yeah, everybody's going to be there.
Miss Bella, we got to get her a little hard hat.
Oh, God forbid, we got to have Miss Bella, you know. But I want to thank you so much for this extraordinary interview that you've had. And I want your guests to know that they're always welcome. Please come back, share your stories. Tell us what you're doing and how you're going about doing it, because a lot of us, just like myself, are not veterans, and we want to learn, because some of the things that you're sharing with us is just unbelievable. I mean, how dare that you go over and serve the country and come back and can't even get resources and help and benefits? It's just not fair. And I'm finding this out from a grassroots level, and this really hurts my heart. So I want you all to know that you're always welcome, and come back, okay? Bring your colleagues and your clients that you've helped. We want to hear their stories as well. Okay, Paul and Joseph?
Thank you.
Okay, because you know Kevin has a monthly segment, so you're going to come on his segment. What is the name of your segment, Kev?
Name of my segment is, I forget what it is. What did we name it?
This is From Incarceration to Success.
That's right.
That's his segments. It's starting as of next month. So make sure you come back on and bring some of your clients.
Yes, I got next month's going to be the president of Avatara, the CEO, and the operations director of operations.
From what organization is that?
Avatara, and they're the ones, they're based out of North Carolina. They're the ones that have the contract with West LA VA and Sepulveda VA, San Diego VA, several VAs around the country doing janitorial services.
Oh, okay.
And they're the ones that I work very closely with, and they hire my vets. Give them a chance.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's who Joseph works for.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Well, we look forward to having him on the show. Thank you so much. Now, Taylor, please share your information.
Sure, Connie. On 0 to 3, 0 to 3 is a national center for infant, toddlers, and families. Is a nonprofit organization headquartered in Washington, D.C., with an auxiliary office in Los Angeles, California. Their mission, to ensure that all babies and toddlers have a strong start in life. ZTT provides parents, professionals, and policymakers the knowledge and know-how to nurture early development. 0 to 3 is proud to support military and veteran families through Military Family Project. They work to increase awareness and collaboration throughout military and civilian communities so that professionals who work with parents and children can more effectively care for babies, toddlers, and their military-connected families. And parents will have tools to assist them as they nurture and guide their children's development. Their board books developed for toddlers, informative booklets for parents, and professional guides all focus on strategies to help strengthen the resilience of babies and toddlers in military and veteran families, helping them navigate the many transitions that are a part of being a part of a military-connected family. Topics include preparing for deployment, behavior challenges, reintegration, moving, injury, loss of a parent, transitioning back to civilian life, and self-care.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Taylor. Now, Brooke, please share your important informative information for children of veterans.
Yes, Connie. I'd like to share an amazing organization for military and veteran parents called Babies on the Home Front. Babies on the Home Front provides military and veteran parents ideas for enhancing everyday moments with their baby or toddler. Parents will find lots of material to add to their toolbox of strategies, including behavior tips, ideas for handling those tougher parenting moments like tantrums or those unique challenges like missing a deployed parent, playtime, ideas for fun and soothing activities that will keep your connection to your baby strong no matter where you are, at ease, self-care, ideas to help you remember to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your baby. Help me grow your child's development. Information on your child's development with tips for you to support your child as they grow. And the new private messaging. Privately message your co-parent sharing your family's experience. Send fun emojis, including kisses, hugs, and high fives. Store photos and videos to share with your child or send videos. For general inquiries about Babies on the Home Front and or 0 to 3, go to the App Store. And for specific department contact the main office, 0 to 3, 100 West Broadway, Suite 3000, Long Beach, California, 90802. They can be reached at 213-481-7279. Or by fax at 213-481-2891.
Can you repeat those phone numbers again, please?
Of course. The phone number again is 213-481-7279. And the fax number is 213-481-2891.
Thank you. Take it away, Charles.
All right. Got some hot news, as we say.
All right.
This is about the Veterans and the Americans with Disability Act. There are several federal laws that provide important protections for veterans with disabilities who are looking for jobs or already in the workplace. Two of those laws, Title I of the Americans with Disability Act and the Uniform Service Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, is USERRA, protect veterans from employment discrimination. Title I of the ADA, which is enforced by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, prohibits private and state and local government employees with 15 or more employees from discriminating against individuals on the basis of disability. Any veteran with a disability who meets the ADA's definition is covered, regardless of whether the disability is service-connected. USERRA has requirements for reemploying veterans with and without service-connected disabilities and is enforced by the U.S. Department of Labor and the U.S. Department of Justice. This guide describes how the ADA applies to recruiting, hiring, and accommodating veterans with disabilities and briefly explains how protections for veterans with disabilities differ from USERRA and the ADA. The guide also provides information on laws and regulations that employers may find helpful if they want to make recruiting and hiring veterans with disabilities a priority. Now, here are three resources. Laws Protecting Veterans with Service-Connected Disabilities. It's the ADA, U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. It's www.eeoc.gov, or you can dial 1-800-669-4000. That's 1-800-669-4000, or you can TTY, it's 1-800-669-6820. At the U.S. Department of Justice, it's www.ada.gov. The phone number there is 1-800-514-0301 or TTY, 1-800-514-0383. And at USERRA, U.S. Department of Labor, Veterans Employee and Training Service, it's www.dol.gov/agency/vets/programs/USERRA. I know there's a lot of slashing going on, but it's one more time. It's www.dol.gov/agencies/vets/programs/USERRA. They've been doing a lot of program slashing here, huh?
Right. Listen, before I hand it over to Brooke, Matt, because Brooke is getting ready to turn it over to Matt, but Matt and Charles, do you have any information or any questions that you want to ask Kevin and his guest today?
Actually, I did. I want to ask you, Joseph, specifically. You say you did 2 out of 3 years. After you got out, so you stuck around the Anchorage for a little bit longer, for I don't know how long, but because you weren't able to get benefits, how long was it before you were incarcerated? Was it, sometime later? And was that in Anchorage itself, or were you back here in the mainland?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
The question is, how long from your time of, that you got out of the military, was it that you were incarcerated, and was it in Alaska, or was it back here in the mainland?
I was incarcerated about 10 years after I got out.
Okay.
And for quite a long time. And then I was granted an interstate compact to Los Angeles. And this is where I started my new life here in Los Angeles.
So you were already here back in the mainland. Were you back in Miami at that time? Or were you?
No, I had stayed in Anchorage. I tried to make a life there.
Right.
And I met a woman, and we had a child, and things didn't work out. And my life started going downhill after that, where finally I was incarcerated in 1995. I had been incarcerated for almost 24 years.
Really?
Yeah. So it was really tough trying to reenter society. And I thought, I don't think I can do it in Alaska. And so they granted me an interstate compact to Los Angeles, where I was basically just embraced by the Angelenos. Their social services are great down here. I noticed many organizations down here try to help veterans and previously incarcerated people, like Kevin's organization, Volunteers of America. And that's when I was able to really start getting back on my feet after I sought Kevin's help, and he showed me all the programs that are available, all the help that's available. And then he helped me get a great job, a well-paying job, which allowed me to finally settle and not, you know, be so transient.
Right. That is so great. What about you, Matt? You want to ask him anything or ask Paul anything?
I have a question for Kevin. Kevin, you serve incarcerated veterans. Do you have any problems these days going into the prisons to serve these veterans because of COVID?
Yes, right now we're not going in. We probably will be going back in again shortly, but for a while there, they kept us out. But we've had an influx of people getting out because of COVID. They're releasing a lot of people out of the jails and prisons early because they don't want them to be in there and then the disease is going wild and everybody catching it. So they're letting a lot of people. I've been so busy this whole past year, very busy, with all the discharge from prison. So I don't need to go in. They're coming out.
Right. Well, that's good.
Matt, you have an extensive track record with incarcerated vets. Why don't you share that story a little bit, please?
Well, I served 16 years serving incarcerated veterans. And one of the things that helped me a lot was working with what they call the vet rep at EDD, or the unemployment office. They always have a vet rep there to help. And what you can do is to go in there, and if you know where the veteran's going to be released into, what community, you could work with EDD, and they will connect you with a vet rep in that community. And once the resume is put together and sent to that vet rep, he can help find a job before he even gets out. And also, through the internet, you can find a place for transitional housing for that veteran in his community where he's being released into. But all that could be done through the vet rep at EDD. So that's just a clue that helped me a lot, and hopefully it might help you.
That's great. So, Brooke, you gonna turn it back over?
I'm going to turn it back over to Matt. I was so caught up in all those stories. turn it back over to Matt so that he can help us acknowledge a special American invisible hero.
Thank you, Brooke. Today, or this afternoon, I want to remember Ross A. McGinnis, the President of the United States of America, in the name of Congress, took pride in presenting the Medal of Honor posthumously to Private First Class Ross A. McGinnis, United States Army, for conspicuous gallantry at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty. Private First Class McGinnis distinguished himself by acts of gallantry above and beyond the call of duty while serving as an M2 50 caliber machine gunner, 1st Platoon, Company C, 1st Battalion, 26th Infantry Regiment, in connection with the combat operations against an armed enemy in northeast Baghdad, Iraq, on December 4th, 2006. That afternoon, his platoon was conducting combat control operations in an effort to reduce and control sectarian violence in the area. While Private McGinnis was manning his M2 50 caliber machine gun, a fragmentation grenade was thrown by an insurgent, fell through the gunner's hatch into his vehicle. Reacting quickly, he yelled, "Grenade," allowing all four members of his crew to prepare for the grenade's blast. Then, rather than leaping from the gunner's hatch to safety, Private McGinnis made the courageous decision to protect his crew. In a selfless act of bravery in which he was mortally wounded, Private McGinnis covered the live grenade, pinning it between his body and the vehicle, absorbing most of the explosion. Private McGinnis' gallant action directly saved four men from certain serious injury or death. Private First Class McGinnis, extraordinary heroism and selflessness at the cost of his own life, above and beyond the call of duty, are in keeping with the higher traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army.
Well, as always, Matt, you have some touching stories or wonderful information about our American Invisible Heroes. Okay, we got a little bit more time left. I'd love to have Taylor to tell us about another invisible hero.
You've got it, Connie. Air Force Colonel Eileen Collins was the first female space shuttle commander. In 1999, Air Force Colonel Eileen Collins became the first female space shuttle commander and one of the famous women veterans who have made incredible contributions to America. In 1979, Collins joined the Air Force, and she was assigned to be a T-38 flight instructor until the year 1982. In 1990, Collins graduated from the Air Force Test Pilot School. And during her program at the school, Eileen was selected for the astronaut program by NASA. It's incredible.
Okay. Brooke?
Deborah Sampson served during the Revolutionary War. Deborah Sampson was one of the first women veterans serving distinguished as a man during the Revolutionary War because women were not allowed to enlist and serve. Sampson's enlistment started in 1778, and she used the alias Robert Shirtliff. Deborah Robert served without question until 1781 when she developed an illness caused by brain fever, and her deception was detected by the physician who was treating her. Instead of disclosing Sampson's secret, the physician kept quiet. Eventually, Deborah was instructed to take a letter to General Washington, who gave her a private discharge and some money so she could return home.
Okay, good information.
Wow, that's something, huh?
What about you, Charles?
Well, I'm going to, in the future here, very soon, I'm going to start connecting with veterans who actually, who are musicians. And I have some information about the, you know, the Hollywood and how they, a place where they hire veterans for movies and certain things like that. I'll be sharing that with you guys next week, but I'm going to take a section where we'll actually be playing some videos of. Of course, I'm a musician, so I'm a singer songwriter, and amongst all the other things that I do, and I want to share some the music that the veterans are producing, along with some of my own stuff too. But that's coming up.
Okay, we hope it'll be coming up soon, like maybe next month. You think?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Take it away, Brooke.
Before Ms. Connie closes, I'd like to remind our listeners about our amazing advertisement rates. We have 10-second and 30-second advertisement slots available. Please email info@operationconfidence.org for more information. The email address again is info@operationconfidence.org.
Okay, and as we're winding down to the end of our show, as always, I want to remind our listeners that our goals is to raise awareness about Operation Confidence, and our mission is to provide housing with a wide range of supportive services, including employment opportunities for disabled vets and those who may have experienced homelessness. So if any of you want to get behind our grassroots mission, please send us an email to info@operationconfidence.org. Make sure you visit our website at www.operationconfidence.org. And we want you back next week. We're here every Sunday from 2 to around 2:50. And we welcome any of you that would like to be a guest. Also send to info@operationconfidence.org. Thank you so much. And to our guests and our hosts, say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.